This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 and 930 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Jennifer Watson.
Hello, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Jennifer Watson, and thanks for joining us for tonight's show.
Great show tonight. We have Charlie Adams from the North Carolina High School Athletic Association joining with us. Charlie's from the class of 59, and we look forward to passing his story on to you. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about what we talked about. We'll talk a little bit about Pirate football. Let's get that out of the way first. Let's talk about Pirate football because Pirate basketball tipped off this week. And
yeah.
So very excited about the start of the basketball seasons, both men and women, tipped off this week. And but let's talk about football first.
Okay. Well, Paul, the Pirates are going to play this Sunday, as I'm sure that you already know. They're going to play Sunday in Tulsa for a Conference USA matchup against the Golden Hurricane. And the kickoff for that game is going to be at 8:15 Eastern time, and it will air on ESPN. So looking forward to watching that game. I'm not going to be there. Are you going?
I'm not going. I have been to Tulsa, though. I went to the Conference USA championship game out there last year. And it was, it's a beautiful stadium. It's one of the only stadiums that I can recall in the country where they made it smaller.
Huh.
Yeah, you talk about stadiums expanding.
Yeah.
They actually went from, I believe, 50,000 seats down to about 38,000 seats.
Wow.
Basically, the stadium didn't change. They just put a lot more chair backs in and, made it a lot more comfortable. But their campus is gorgeous. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. And I felt like I was walking around Duke. I mean, it was Duke nice.
It was very, very cool.
It was. So Pirates are 4-1 in conference play, which means they sit atop the East, 5-4 overall. And as Skip Holtz would say, the number one goal going into any season is to win the East, and then win the conference championship. And the Pirates still have that goal in sight. But this will be a... this will be a tough Conference USA matchup against the Golden Hurricanes of Tulsa. Again, 8:15 Sunday night. It's Sunday night football. Another odd night. We'll play on any night. Anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
And really, I'd like to emphasize the anytime this season because, boy, oh, boy, we've been playing on all different kinds of nights. But Sunday night, we get national exposure again. The game will air on ESPN.
Well, and of course, if you're not able to make it to the game, then you can hook up with other Pirates fans around the country at football viewing parties. And to find out if there's one that's going to be held in your local area, just log on to our website at piratealumni.com.
That's right. And basketball season actually tips off this evening.
That's right.
Actually, in about an hour, they're going to tip off against UVA Wise. Coming here into Greenville. I'm not totally familiar with UVA-wise, but I heard this morning that they are pouring about $30 million into a basketball arena there. So,
wow. They must have some promise in their program then.
They must. So,
as we have lots of promise with our program.
Absolutely.
And under the leadership of Coach Mack, of course.
Absolutely. Mack McCarthy has brought a lot of excitement and enthusiasm to our basketball program. We have new recruits that I can't wait to see out on the basketball court tonight. And so if you don't have plans and you're just driving around listening to Pirate Radio 1250 and 930, stop on by at Minji's Coliseum, Williams Arena, and check out ECU basketball starting. Actually, I believe it's not a 7 o'clock tip-off. The game actually starts at 6 o'clock tonight because it's a doubleheader. So the game's going on right now. Get over there and catch some East Carolina Pirate basketball. Women's basketball follows the men's game tonight. So
cool.
UNC Charlotte's in town for the women's matchup. And so come out and see some good college basketball played right here in Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun for families, too.
Absolutely. Speaking of fun for families, next weekend we have another home football game. And the best way to start off a home football weekend is with Free Boot Friday.
That's exactly right, Paul. And most of you already know that, you know, Free Boot Friday happens the day before a home football game. And Uptown Greenville hosts Free Boot Friday. And it's right here, right by the Pirate Radio studio. We can look right right out the window and see everybody having a great time as we're talking here.
It's funny you said it's like right here.
It is right here.
And yet we're coming to people through a radio. So, so it's right here close to us, but not necessarily where you are. Right across the street here in Uptown Greenville, the corners of 5th and Evans.
Thank you for the clarification.
I'm sorry.
At any rate, the important thing to note is that this is actually the last Freeboot Friday of the season. So if you haven't made it to one this season, then be sure to bring your family out. It starts at 5 o'clock, and it is free to the public, and there's games and activities for children. There's live entertainment. I believe that the main event is going to be one of the bands that plays that on that Freeboot Friday, next Friday. So just come on down to Uptown Greenville and have a good time.
Absolutely. And it's a big weekend on campus. Again, another home football game, November 21st. It's also the Military Appreciation Game.
Exactly.
And we are going to be celebrating Military Appreciation by having our military and ROTC alumni reunion. The Pirate Battalion open house begins at 0900 hours.
Very nice.
Which is 9 o'clock in the morning. And that'll be in Christian Berry Gym. Also at 9 o'clock in the morning, there'll be an Air Force ROTC Detachment 600 open house on the third floor of the Wright Annex. Then at 1300 hours, which I believe is 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
right,
reunion participants will join other alumni at the Alumni Association tailgate, followed by Pirate football at 1530 hours.
I think that's 3:30.
It's 3:30.
For those of us who don't speak military time.
That's right. At 3:30, the Pirates will kick off their Military Appreciation Day football game.
Well, and a really cool thing about this game, not only is it Military Appreciation Day, but they're all going to be recognized at some point during the game as well. I think they do little stuff during halftime, and then
right. All
the veterans and active duty military that are in attendance at the game, there's definitely recognition of those folks.
All the videos up on the play, up on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Which are always exciting to see. And you know, Military Appreciation Day has traditionally brought a flyover.
I know. That's exciting.
I have not heard what it is going to be this year, but it never disappoints.
That would be very cool if we had another one this year.
Absolutely. If you're a member of any of our armed forces and would like to participate in the military reunion, please give us a call at the Alumni Center at 800-ECU-GRAD. And, of course, we'd like to give you all a heartfelt thank you to all the men and women in uniform for what you do to serve and protect our country. It's greatly appreciated. And on behalf of the Pirate Nation, we say thank you for your service.
Well, stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me, everyone. We'll be right back with Charlie Adams after this commercial break.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association. You may have heard of the concept, paying it forward, the belief that you can rarely pay someone back, but you can always do something for the next generation. And that's what the Alumni Association is all about, supporting East Carolina through student recruitment, scholarships, student programs, and advocacy for the university. Join today.
Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com for details.
Occasions Party and Tent Rentals is the choice of the East Carolina Alumni Association for all our alumni party and event needs. Serving all of Eastern North Carolina, Occasions is your wedding, party, and corporate event headquarters, offering all your party needs to host the perfect event. Paint your next event purple with Occasions. Call today at 252-752-6326 or visit them online at occasionsrental.net. Make your next event an occasion.
You've been hearing about Springshire Continuing Care Retirement Community, and now this new retirement community is about to take an exciting step. Springshire is now sharing final details and allowing priority list members to select their new home. Springshire is being developed on beautiful property in close proximity to Ironwood Country Club, Pitt County Memorial Hospital, the School of Medicine, shopping and settings hosting many community and cultural events. Springshire promises to be the destination for all who are looking for a vibrant, social model community community with nature areas, lake, golf, gardens, putting green, movie theater, on-site assisted living, and skilled care. If you are looking for a beautiful apartment, private townhome, or spacious house in a lovely full-service community, you will find what you deserve at Springshire. Join the excitement as Springshire moves to the next level. If you're not on Springshire's wait list, it's not too late. Go to springshire.org or call Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 and learn why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
We're happy to have Executive Director of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, Charlie Adams, with us today. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Thank you, Paul. I look forward to being with you.
Let's start right at the very beginning and let our listeners know how you became an East Carolina Pirate.
Well, basically, basketball. We won the state championship my senior year, and the coach at East Carolina came in the dressing room and told me he'd like for me to come to East Carolina. And I got waylaid by 1 year. I ended up coming to the University of North Carolina on a basketball scholarship and realized that I should have gone to East Carolina because that's where I wanted to be, but I'd gotten some pressure in my hometown from my coach and my principal, and I came to Carolina and realized very quickly that I wanted to be at East Carolina, and I transferred, and it was all over basketball.
Well, we hear from so many alumni that it was the professors and mentors that they had, and possibly for you, even your coach, that made their experience here special. Charlie, who was important to you while you attended East Carolina?
Well, the townspeople in Greenville, I got to know so many of them because of playing basketball and them coming to the games and then seeing them in town. And the nice thing about East Carolina then, it was small enough where you knew your professors, you knew your classmates, you knew the townspeople. And that was one of the best things that happened to me at East Carolina. Everybody was so friendly, so outgoing, and it was just wonderful to be with a group of people that you felt close to. And all of my professors, every one of them to this day, I could probably name most of them, and they were huge role models in my life.
Well, Charlie, talk about being a basketball player at East Carolina. Is there a certain season or a game that sticks out in your mind from your time here at ECU?
Well, I guess it would be my senior year. I thought we had one of the better basketball teams in North Carolina, and we had a really good record. And I guess the one game that would stand out in my mind, there was 4 seconds left. We were playing Western Carolina, who had a tremendous team in Greenville. And we had the ball out of bounds with 4 seconds to go, and I think we were down 1 point. And we threw an inbounds pass. They hit me. I came off a screen, shot a jump shot, and we won.
That's great. We're talking with Charlie Adams of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for me. We're living a pirate's life, too. So.
Well, Charlie, you've enjoyed a really long career with the NCHSAA, 42 years, and I understand that you're planning to retire in February of 2010. But before we talk about how you've contributed to high school athletics, tell our listeners about what you did in those years between graduation and when you got hired with the Athletic Association.
Well, after graduating from East Carolina in 59, back then they had the draft. And I had used my student deferment because when I transferred from Carolina to East Carolina, I had to sit out a year to gain my eligibility. And so that put me in a second year, and then I had 3 years left to play basketball. So I was 5 years, and then I was drafted, and I had to go into the Army. So I stayed at East Carolina and worked on my master's and went that summer, and then the fall quarter, and then had to go into the military. And after I got out, I went to Laurel, Delaware, and started coaching there. And from Laurel, I came back to East Carolina to finish my master's degree and was offered a job in Cary, North Carolina, which was my hometown. And I went back, and I coached 4 years there. And then I went over to Garner High School and became the dean of men, assistant principal, athletic director, summer school principal, and ran the ESEA Title I program for Wake County. At that time, there was a change in the state association, and Hap Perry, who was the executive director, retired, and his assistant, Simon Turrell, moved up. And I was one of 75 applicants and was fortunate enough to be chosen. And I joined the association in 1967 as assistant executive director and supervisor of officials.
Sure. For those folks who aren't familiar with the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, it's a volunteer nonprofit organization that was started in 1912 with the goal to standardize regulation and ensure fairness among high school athletics. You said you've been the executive director since 1984. You started with the organization in 1967. Talk about the different positions that you've held and how you came to be the executive director.
Well, I think, Paul, that probably one of the reasons was that I had been an athlete, I had been a coach, I had been in administration as an athletic director and as an assistant principal and a summer school principal, and I also, when I was at East Carolina, officiated under Jim Mallory. And so I think I probably had touched all the bases that they were looking for to come into the state program, because here at the association, we work with all the public and non-boarding parochial schools in North Carolina. We handle aligning the schools. We handle playoffs, championships, rules, regulations, officiating. And I had done a little bit of everything. And so I guess they felt like that I was a good candidate to come on to the staff. And it's been a labor of love. I have truly enjoyed it. And I think that's one of the reasons I've worked so long. I look at my birthdays, and I look at my years with the organization, and then I have to stop and realize, people say, why have you worked so long? Really, because I love what I do. I have a tremendous passion for student athletes in this state, for the schools, for the communities, and trying to create an atmosphere where we're making it better and we're creating memories forever for everyone.
Well, Charlie, what are some of the challenges that you faced as executive director? And also, talk a little bit about the growth of the organization since you've been at the helm.
Jennifer, I'd say the challenges, and they always will be, finances number one. And we've had a really tough couple of years now, as everybody has. We were down about $3 million this past audit, and most of that came from investment income and gate receipts. And we've got so much unemployment in North Carolina right now. People, in many cases, are not going to the games. But in many cases, they are going because it's a cheap form of recreation and keeps them close at home. Sportsmanship is always a problem. It seems like every time we think we've got it in pretty good shape, it'll burst out, because sportsmanship is just, you got good and you got bad. And there's such an emotional aspect to athletics, particularly when that's your son, your daughter, your neighbor, the girl or boy who's bagging groceries in the grocery store. It's not like someone from New York or New Jersey's playing out there. That's your blood. And it gets quite heated at times. Officiating is very, very controversial. And then I think the growth of the program. Jennifer, I know you'd be pleased with this, but we have seen an incredible growth in women's athletics. We've gone from basically just basketball for our girls to now we have 12 sports for them, every one of them classified. And we've got over 155,000 girls and boys participating in our program, in a 22-sport program that once you classify it, you're probably between 80 and 100 classified championships. And our women's program of basketball, volleyball, softball, soccer, track, golf, tennis, it's just incredible the way it's grown. And I don't see it letting up. It's just signs of the times. And another thing that's going to be always be a challenge, North Carolina is one of the fastest growing states in the country. And as a result, we're getting more growth in the schools. We have 386 schools this year. And probably by the next time we realign schools, we'll have over 400, because there are 8 on the drawing board right now to open up next year. So the growth is going to be something that the next director is going to have to pay a lot of attention to as we get larger and larger.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me, and we're talking with Charlie Adams, Executive Director of the North Carolina High School Athletics Association. Charlie, talk about some of the controversies that you've had to handle as Executive Director and some of the changes that you have made within the association to make sure that those things don't happen. Things like Friday night football and some of the medical concerns that we now have for high school football players.
Well, Paul, you've hit on two of the biggest ones, no question about that. For 90 years, we were protected by the NCAA, and they did not televise any college games on Friday night. And then, for some reason, in their infinite wisdom, they decided they would drop that. So then, all of a sudden, we were just fair game for anybody who wanted to televise on Friday night. And that had been the one night that was considered, you know, Friday night high school football. And that's where most schools in this state finance their entire program, and it's one of the two that finances ours. So we had to do everything we could there to try to get people to look at this as their salvation, because these are our kids that are coming onto your program, and you need to help us protect Friday nights. We lost Tuesday and Friday nights years ago to basketball, and now basketball at the collegiate level is playing just about 7 days a week. And we've had to do some adjusting there to try to get by. But we just felt like football, we'd be ruined if the colleges moved in on our Friday nights. But I think we've got a good working relationship with the schools in this state, and we feel real good where we are there. Last year, Paul, was the toughest year we've had since I've been in this job. We had 5 deaths in North Carolina last year. We have never had that many probably in the last 25 years. And the majority of them were from second impact or concussions and then heat exhaustion. And we're doing everything we can with our sports medicine committee and working with the legislature and working with colleges and universities in trying to make sure that we have adequate coverage, protection from our team doctors, physicians, trainers, trying to get trainers at every school, trying to have everybody in a position to recognize a potential concussion and not put a kid back in and make sure they're cleared before they play a game. So those were the two things. And as we grow as a state, realignment is a huge problem because we're getting more and more schools. And ideally, you'd like to cluster schools together, but when you cluster, you don't always have schools of the same class. So we might be looking at 5 classifications next time, or we might be looking at subdividing as we go along. And the toughest thing in this job, Paul, is when you have to rule somebody ineligible, because the ineligibility of one person affects that whole team.
Right.
Now, if the young man or young lady falsified their records or their address, then the penalty is on them for 365 days. But if the school just uses an ineligible, then the penalty affects the whole team. And it's hard to see a team suffer for the act of one. And I guess in this day and time, we're seeing more movement of athletes. Used to, you went to school where you, in the attendance area where you lived, and that's where you played. And now we're seeing more and more athletes trying to get into schools with better programs, and they're falsifying information. And another thing we're having to deal with today that we didn't have to in years gone by are parents, because the principal is the constituted voting authority of the school, and the school is the member of the association.
Right.
So in past years, we've always dealt with the athletic director, the principal, and the superintendent. But now, overzealous parents will not accept what the school tells them, and they call us. And we don't want to get in a crossfire with the school, so we just tell them, we're not going to talk to you as parents. You've got a board of education, a superintendent, a principal, and AD, and they are your spokespeople. And the threat of litigation, there was a time in which you never, ever thought about going to court. And in North Carolina, we probably went to court the fewest number of times of any state in the country. And now, every time you turn around, somebody says, well, you'll hear from my attorney, or, you know, we'll be going to court over this. And that just spends everybody's money, and generally the result is the same. Most of the time the judge says, I'm not going to substitute my wisdom for that of a board of directors who this is their job to make these rules and regulations. So I would say those are some of the things that cause us constant review and trying to be proactive, staying on top of, and trying to do the best we can for all the schools that we serve.
Well, Charlie, to be able to spend your career working with high school athletics, there's no doubt in my mind that you have to be an avid sports fan, which of course means that you've attended hundreds and hundreds of games. Talk about some of the most memorable high school games that you've seen.
Jennifer, there has been so many of them that the game ended with a last-second shot, a quarterback sneak for a touchdown, a spike in volleyball, a home run in baseball, a slide in softball. And you're right, I have seen so many athletic contests in my life. And, you know, I'm pleased and proud of that because when I was growing up, all I wanted to do was play sandlot, backyard. Then I wanted to play high school football, basketball, baseball, which I did. Then I wanted to play college basketball, which I did. And then I wanted to coach, which I did. And then the lucky thing for me was when I got into athletic administration, because I've spent a lifetime now being able to go to all of our championships, our regionals, our sectionals, and see the finest teams, the finest athletes, games that went down to the wire, games that went into overtime. We still hold the record in North Carolina for 13 overtimes in a basketball game.
Wow.
So if I started trying to single out, you know, people all the time ask me, well, who was the best basketball player? Well, it depends on what era. Was it the 50s? Was it the 90s? Is it now? And the thing I say is the athletes have gotten bigger, stronger, quicker, faster. They're getting better coaching. They have better facilities, better equipment, and everything just gets better each year. But when these other ones who were participating were playing during their time, it was also about as good as it gets. And you wonder where it's going to end, because right now, when I watch, for example, our state football championships, these remind me of the small colleges many years ago because of the ability of these kids. But I'm not, you know, trying to be evasive on your question, but to single out Paul, I'd be forgetting Jennifer, and then that would leave Charlie. And I kind of feel like all these kids have been ours, all these championships are ours, and rather than singling out one outstanding performance or one outstanding game, I'd just like to say we're the most fortunate people in the world to have been able to serve the state of North Carolina and have all of this going on.
Well, Charlie, I'm sure one of the other issues that, and you touched on this a little bit, was the economy, but it seems like just beyond not just the past 2 years, but for many years now, school districts have been making the tough choices of cutting extracurricular activities, whether it's art programs or the band or after-school programs, and athletics seems to fall into that, where there's less and less money to support athletics. I'm sure that's an issue that you deal with almost every day. Talk about the importance of high school athletics, not just to the students, but to the school system, to our communities, and to the state.
Well, Paul, I talked to Governor Hunt one time when he was talking about building more prisons, and I said, Governor, I respect your opinion, but we need to build more schools, and we need to get more people involved in athletics, because athletics has more holding power than anything we will ever do in our school. And I said, if you've got a good athletic program and it's successful, it's the front porch of your system and of your school. And if you're having a good year athletically, you're going to have a good year academically, activities, and things of that nature. And what we always say is, you know, athletics, you know, we get these young men and women involved. They participate, they compete, and they've learned carryover value that will take care of them the rest of their life, whether it be an individual sport or a team sport. And our dropout rate in athletics is so small. Somebody told me that the dropout rate in North Carolina was around 20% between the 9th and 10th grade. Our dropout rate is less than 1%. And I think that shows the holding power, because you get these youngsters involved at an early age, and then they're brought into a team situation, and it's just something that is good for them, it's good for their community, and it's good for their school. And we still think our competition is the purest form of amateur athletics that are left. You know, it's not a big money thing, It's the school down the street. It's that gathering on Friday night. It's not a business. It's not a win at all costs. It's not television driven. And so I just kind of think right now we have the program where it's really happening. It's producing young men and women that we hope will be good sports and will be good citizens and take their place in North Carolina, and that we will continue to be proud of.
Well, Charlie, what are you planning to do during your retirement?
Spend more time in Greenville, coming to East Carolina games.
Well, that sounds like that's a good plan.
Pardon?
That sounds like a very good plan.
Well, that's one of the things, because of this job, you're so tied up statewide that I never get to Greenville as much as I want to. And that really is one of my plans, to get back down. One of my fondest memories, Paul, is my years in your program and graduating from East Carolina and all the people that were with us during that time who went into coaching, and then all the opportunities to get back down at homecoming and Letterman's weekend and Hall of Fame and see all the people that meant so much to me. And I'll be eternally grateful to East Carolina for, one, giving me a basketball scholarship and an opportunity to play, and secondly, to give me one of the finest educations that I could have gotten, and then even beyond that, a master's degree, and people that I have seen over the years all over this state who are East Carolina people, and what a rallying point that is for all of us who are Pirates. And that would be my goal. One of them is just to get back to Greenville and enjoy the times and the memories that are so dear to me.
We've been talking with Charlie Adams of the North Carolina High School Athletics Association, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Well, Charlie, we'd like to thank you for talking with us today and for letting us pass your story on to the Pirate Nation. It's alumni like you who proudly say, "Yes, I am a Pirate," that brings notoriety to the university and value to every East Carolina degree, and for that we're truly grateful.
Well, Paul, I'm truly grateful for the work that you've done, and I am a supporter of yours and of your department, and hope as I retire that I will be able to do more and that I'll be able to get down there and see you fine folks. And I wish you well, and I thank you for everything you're doing for the folks at East Carolina.
Stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me, everyone. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hello, this is Greg Abiunas, Director of Planned Giving at East Carolina University. The Leo W. Jenkins Society was established to celebrate the importance of planned gifts to the future of ECU. Planned gifts include bequests, charitable gift annuities, trusts, life insurance, IRAs, and certain gifts of real estate. If you currently have or would like to discuss an estate plan that benefits East Carolina, please call me at 252-328-9573. Be a visionary like Dr. Jenkins and help transform ECU for the future. Call me today at 252-328-9573.
Make the Alumni Association tailgate part of your game day tradition. Thanks to this year's sponsors, Aramark, WITN, Liberty Mutual, Pepsi, Chico's, Trips, O'Charlie's, Rep Express, and Uncle Yammy's Rib Shack, we're able to offer great food and great fun for all Pirate fans. Leave the grill at home and join our family-friendly atmosphere 2.5 hours prior to kickoff. Tickets are on sale now and are $10 for Alumni Association members and $20 for non-members. Children under 12 are free. Call 800-ECU-GRAD to get your alumni tailgate tickets today.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association. You may have heard of the concept paying it forward, the belief that you can rarely pay someone back, but you can always do something for the next generation. And that's what the Alumni Association is all about, supporting East Carolina through student recruitment, scholarships, student programs, and advocacy for the university. Join today.
Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com for details.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
Well, great show today, Jennifer. Thank you to Charlie Adams for joining us. It's amazing with the long career that he's had and the the lives that he's been able to touch through high school athletics in North Carolina.
Well, and it's so important. I mean, not only for students, but for families and for communities. And, you know, so kudos to him for all the work that he's done with the High School Athletics Association.
Absolutely. Thanks again to Charlie Adams for joining us in the class of 59.
Join us again next Friday at 6 p.m. right after Live at 5 when our guest will be Bruce Biggs of the class of 1966, who is an outstanding alumni award recipient and also owner of Biggs, Pontiac, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC truck in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Thanks to our producer, Shirley Rhodes, and until next time, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold.
Go Pirates!